I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back into another edition of Backboard Basics. Got a little bit of extra pep in the step tonight because we are live. Well, not live to you, but live to us immediately in the aftermath of the draft lottery. And I'm Kevin Hagland at Oh Thank Kevin on Twitter, alongside Nick Nepic at Nick Nepic on Twitter. And Nick, I think there's only one word that can be used to describe the draft lottery: stupid.
I was going to say rigged. Does that count? Can we do two words? Can that be one of them?
Yeah, because we've told you all along, DFW strong right here. The Dallas Mavericks get the number 5 pick. And in case you missed it, it goes at the top: Phoenix, number 1. Sacramento jumping up to number 2. Atlanta jumping up to number 3. So Memphis slides down to number 4. Dallas, number 5. Orlando, number 6. Chicago, number 7, Cleveland 8, New York 9, the Lakers 10, but because it's number 10, that pick will go to Philly. Charlotte number 11, the Clippers at 12 and 13, and Denver number 14. It's a great day for Phoenix, obviously. It's a great day for Atlanta, and especially for Sacramento.
And they jumped 5 spots.
I know. And it's a crap day for Memphis and the Mavericks, man, especially Memphis. Like, I'm pissed about the Mavericks, but there were times where they looked competitive. Memphis, there were plenty of times they looked like the absolute worst team in the league, even worse than Phoenix, and they fall down to number 4 right there. Disappointing because, especially for the Mavericks, they have a history of getting screwed in the draft lottery. We talked about this the other day on Shameless Plug, the KNC Masterpiece at KNC1053 on Twitter, 7-11 Central on 105.3 The Fan. Is back in 1992, the Mavericks were the 3rd team. You know who got the number 1 pick? The 2nd team, Orlando. They got Shaq. The very next year, Dallas had the worst record, should have got the number 1 pick. You know who got it instead? Orlando again, and they had 1 ping pong ball out of 166. What did they do? They swapped with Golden State, and so they ended up getting Shaq and then Penny plus 2 other first round draft picks. When the craptastical Mavericks, who won 11 games that year, they didn't get any of that stuff. Then the next year, 1994, Mavericks, well, no surprise, still the worst team in the NBA because of the stupid lottery. They still didn't get the number 1 pick. The lottery screws the Mavs every single year, and it screwed them again this year. But let's deal with some of the practical applications of this. I will be fascinated to see if the Clippers decide to wheel and deal, as they have back-to-back picks at number 12 and number 13. Then obviously you have to think, if you're Philadelphia at number 10, will you try to wheel and deal? Because my goodness, does that have LeBron James written all over it. And I know you're like, why would Cleveland trade LeBron James? Well, LeBron James can be a free agent and he can go to Philly and they could try to get something out of it. Because right now they have the number 8 pick. And not that this solves your problems, because if you lose LeBron, you're screwed. But if you come away with the number 8 and 10 pick and, you know, maybe Philly's number 1 pick in 2 years, at least then maybe you feel like I've got some assets to build for the future. But in the bottom half of the lottery, the Clippers and the 76ers immediately strike me as two teams that might be looking to work some deals.
Especially the Clippers with those two picks, 12 and 13.
Back to back, yeah.
Although I'm not, like, I'm looking at the teams that they might want to, you know, chat with. I'm not sure that I would trade down for 12 and 13. I just don't know what you're getting there.
What if you, what do you think they might offer one of those picks in a salary dump?
I think they could. I mean, I think the Clippers have gone so quickly from so competitive.
Yeah, no kidding.
To not at all.
No kidding.
That, I mean, they're trying to do anything to get back there. So it'll be. I think it'll be really interesting what the Clippers, you know, do, especially, you know, draft night, and, you know, as the picks start to fall, do they maybe see somebody they like or feel the pressure? Or I think they'll be fun to watch whatever starts happening at the top, whatever the Clippers decide to do. Maybe they stay still and get two back-to-back picks. I think that'd be cool anyway, but it'd be interesting to see if they trade as well.
Yeah, it's like you're the snake fantasy draft come to life when you get those back-to-back picks. Now, assuming nothing were to happen, specifically with Cleveland and Philly on the LeBron front, man, I don't know how you feel about this, but both of those picks or slots scream Mikal Bridges to me, because
yeah.
Mikal Bridges coming from Villanova be an easy transition over to Philly, and they could probably use a dirty work guy. But then you could argue the same thing for Cleveland, is they could use a dirty work guy who doesn't necessarily need all the glory, because there's not much glory left over to be had in Cleveland. I think Mikal Bridges at 8 or 10 makes all the sense in the world.
And I think if LeBron stays, Mikal Bridges makes even more sense. Obviously, they won't know that, you know, at the time of the draft, but if they're thinking...
Do you think they won't? Like, I know you don't have to make a decision, but you got an idea,
they'll
right?
They'll have an idea, but say LeBron stays. I think Mikal Bridges is a really good option for them. He'll defend on the perimeter, and he shoots threes. He, like you said already, he can kind of stay out of the way of what LeBron James would be doing. And if LeBron leaves, well, there's no pressure at all, so that's a good situation for him, too.
Then we move up the board at Chicago, number 7. I don't know why, but one of the names that pops into my head pretty quickly is Wendell Carter Jr. to pair alongside Markkanen up in your front court. And not the same type of player as Mirotić by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But I think they bring the same level of full-grown manness and toughness to the position, if that's a good descriptor. Like, you look at Mirotić, he looks like a full-grown man.
Right.
You look at Wendell Carter Jr., who's only 19. He looks like a dang full-grown man. So that's instantaneously after the draft lottery, Wendell Carter Jr. to Chicago at number 7, I think, is a decent bet.
Yeah, I like that a lot, because you pair two young players together that will be playing together a lot and working together offensively. And then you also cover up. Markkanen was better defensively than I think he projected to be, but you cover.
I thought he wouldn't be able to guard anybody in the NBA, so I would agree with that projection.
You cover some of his weaknesses having a big guy like Carter down there who's comfortable staying down low. And I guess what you worry about is getting either one of them on switches, but I guess you cross that bridge and you get there.
Because Carter struggled mightily, but like you said, Markkanen excelled more defense than anticipated. Maybe Carter could do the same. It would be a fascinating setup to me, because you have a hybrid big in Markkanen against an old-style power forward in Carter, and you'd be meshing them together. You've got Orlando at number 6, and then we said Dallas at number 5. We'll get back to them in just a second, but right now I want to get your thoughts about, well, not surprisingly, Phoenix takes the top pick. They have the worst record. You get the top pick. That's how it goes sometimes. Not when the Mavericks were doing it in the 90s, but sometimes. So the top 3 goes Phoenix, Sacramento with a jump up, and then Atlanta at number 3. Here's one more thing that's insane about the draft lottery to me, is Dallas and Atlanta had a coin flip that Dallas won. But really, if you think about it, the coin flip decided whoever wins gets the 5th pick and whoever loses gets the 3rd pick. That's a weird coin flip, right?
Yeah.
Because statistically, That's where they would have sat at that number four position, and they would have moved up if they would have lost the coin toss. You want to win the coin toss, but now retrospectively, not really.
So earlier today, I was talking to someone, and I may or may not have said, well, the Mavericks won that coin flip, so maybe their draft luck is turning around. But it was
when in reality,
the opposite.
The fact that they won was really the draft lottery gods laughing and saying, you lost. But, okay, so let's look at the top three. Phoenix, Sacramento, and Atlanta. And to me, there's no question the most intriguing team got the number one pick because it's been Ayton will be your number one pick. But if ever there were a team that would cast doubt on that, I think this is that team. Phoenix's new coach that they plucked out from Utah, he is very familiar with Luka Doncic, and word is that the Phoenix Suns covet the combo guard forward from Real Madrid.
I think he'd be good there. I mean, I think he'd be good anywhere, but
sure.
I think there's a lot to be said about that. And if you're Sacramento, you are hoping and praying that Doncic goes one, because I think Ayton is almost a lock in Sacramento.
You finally replace Boogie a little bit.
Right, replace Boogie. You've got plenty of guards. I mean, you have bigs and like Willie Cauley-Stein and Harry Giles, but are those guys
aren't built around guards.
Right, exactly.
At least it doesn't appear so.
But
right
I mean, now, on the other hand, the Sacramento Kings have shown themselves to be quite the dumpster fire as an organization. So
that they have.
So who knows what they decide, but I think Doncic at one is much more of a possibility now than it was, I guess, what, 3 hours ago?
If you're the Suns, and obviously your new head coach, your front office, is most familiar with Luka Doncic, I know that makes a difference to a certain extent, but you're running the franchise, and you have needs at, well, hell, Phoenix has got plenty of needs, but sorry.
Who doesn't?
Devin Booker's awesome, but they got plenty of needs. Could you skip over a big, which I just saw the descriptor, is that he's, you know, probably the most touted prospect since Carl Anthony Towns a couple of years ago. Would you be able to pass on a big for Luka? You personally, you're running the show.
Yes.
Wow.
I would, because I think Doncic is that good. But I understand. Like, I will say yes, but I'm not going to get mad at someone who would disagree with me because looking back to last year's draft, pretty much everyone had Markelle Fultz the number one player.
Sure.
And there was some,
the number two pick looks significantly better.
Exactly. Right now it does. But everyone pretty much had Fultz number one. There might have been a few people who, flipped things around, had Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum, whatever. But it was consensus that Fultz was number one. It feels pretty split, like Ayton or Doncic. Some sites and some people have Doncic, some have Ayton. So either one feels like a pretty safe bet. It just depends, I guess, what you value more or who you think is safer, if that makes sense.
And I think I said the number two pick. I should have said the number three pick because I don't know if people are running around saying that Lonzo Ball is the greatest. It's Jason Tatum that's really where it's at. And so, okay, how confident are you then that those are the top two picks? Whatever the order is, do you think that's pretty close to locked in? Or do you think that maybe a Bagley crashes the party? Maybe a, who the hell knows, Bamba Jackson?
I think it's pretty well set.
Okay.
That those are the top two. Now, maybe Sacramento trades out or something and somebody else takes, gets that pick. But I think the players, Doncic and Ayton, are pretty well set 1-2.
All right. Then let's look at teams like, let's say, a Memphis. Let's say a Dallas, Orlando, Chicago. Let's kind of focus on that, 4, 5, 6, 7. Would you, if Sacramento was looking to trade out, would you give up that pick, 4, 5, 6, or 7, and next year's first to jump up to 2 and get one of those two?
Let's see. Go down the list here.
Okay. So,
Are we going to, is that what we're doing, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Start with Memphis. I would, because I think Memphis will be better next year.
Okay. Dallas?
Oh, gosh.
I,
This one's hard.
I think I would, and I'll tell you why. Because I put together two mock lineups that some people would call preposterous, but they're totally achievable given the salary cap space you have. If you picked up Luka, we'll say, in this scenario, you could go DSJ, Luka, Paul George, Harrison Barnes, and Dirk. And on the other side, you could go DSJ, Wesley Matthews, Harrison Barnes, Dirk, and Ayton, depending on who they took with the top pick and who's available at number two. I mean, if you pick up, or maybe in the free agency route, they try to chase down Boogie or Capella or whoever. There's going to be options.
Yeah,
but
there will.
I think the Mavericks next year could be in a position, not now, but could be in a position where that pick is like 15, 16.
Yeah,
if you're telling me I'm trading 5 and 15 for 2, I can roll with that.
I think you have something there. I don't think Paul George would come to Dallas.
Well, he sure as hell wants to get out of where he is now.
Yeah, but that's true. But I guess
word is the Lakers.
The Lakers,
sure.
But I mean, is that situation's not really any better. I mean, so maybe there's a chance there. I'll say I would do it just because I like Doncic and Ayton so much, and there's so much uncertainty to who would be available at 5. Like, if you tell me Marvin Bagley is there at 5, I'm staying. You and I maybe have a little biased. Who knows why?
I'll readily admit he's bad at defense, so I'm not totally biased.
But I think that's a little, like, overstated. He's bad at shot blocking. Like, he's not a shot blocker, but he's got the tools and the lateral quickness that if he gets some NBA coaching, I think he could be good enough. Now, are you going to be a great defensive team?
No.
But do you need, I guess you need to be able to play defense when it matters. And so the Mavericks need to score points. Like, they need scoring and they need rebounding, and he does both of those things. So if you can get Marvin Bagley at 5, sign me up. I'm happy. Sure, I would have rather been top 2, but if he's there at 5, I'm taking it. Now, but like I said, there's a lot of uncertainty there.
Some great number 5 picks of the past. Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen. So, you know, you can get some people. So one of the things, and that is one of the things that continues to hold me up about Mo Bamba to the Mavericks at 5. And I will readily admit it, as we'll tackle Atlanta at 3, Memphis at 4, Dallas at 5, Orlando at 6, Chicago at 7. That whole cluster right there, because they're all obviously intertwined depending on how the other picks go. One of the things that holds me up about Mo Bamba is some people still live in the past generation of the Mavs where they sucked at defense and scored all the points. They don't score any of the points now. And right. Mo Bamba is a very poor three-point shooter as we sit here right now.
I don't disagree, but let's think positively here. Can we call it improving?
Yes. He needs to be improving on his 27% clip from beyond the arc. And so I think it's like part of a weird diabolical strategy, is because the Mavericks have said all along or Cuban has said, which got us in all this trouble to begin with, or part one of all of our trouble this year, is that this was going to be like the only year that they were going to tank. I do not think you show immediate improvement with Mo Bamba, because he can improve his three-point shot, but it's going to take a while. And I think that maybe you don't turn into a playoff contender very quickly. Maybe that's going to be the case either way. But I think with Mo Bamba, it's going to take a little longer, which maybe in a weird, like, let's see how this all plays out game, is what they want to do, because they know they're going to be back in the lottery again next year. And Mo Bamba, because, like, I think Bagley can come in straight away and give you 15 and 8 next year.
Yeah.
I do not think that Mo Bamba can do that.
I think Bamba can give you 6, 8, and a couple blocks.
Yeah. So that's a pretty drastic difference for a team that needs scoring.
Right.
You know, you're talking about 9 or 10 points a game.
Now, you have Dennis Smith Jr., and I mean, I've gotten into some arguments about this. I expect him to take a pretty big jump offensively. But the Mavericks won, 24 games?
Yeah, and you needed to double that to get in the playoffs.
They're not going to win less than 24 next year.
Okay.
No matter who they pick. I think I feel confident saying that.
It doesn't sound like you sound confident.
After tonight.
Who the hell knows?
Who can believe anything anymore? Yeah, Bamba will be he's not a project. Like, I think he will step in and do some things very well, but he will look like a totally different player 5 years from now.
I totally
than
agree.
Get him today. So, kind of like what you were saying, next year, does he come in and bring scoring? Probably not. But
nope.
5 years from now, if he looks a little bit like Joel Embiid, I mean, I've heard that before. I wouldn't be totally shocked.
And that's really what matters. But the comp I throw out, if we're going ceiling comp for Bagley, I still think is Chris Webber. And, you know, so that's so I'm curious. You go to Atlanta at number three, then Memphis, then Dallas. How do we see this playing out? How do other sites see this playing out? Because for the longest time, it seemed like, you know, maybe Dallas would get number three. Maybe they would go and take Bagley. But now you wonder, will Atlanta go the route of Bagley? Will they go Bamba? Will they go Jackson? And then how will that impact? Could Bagley fall all the way down to number five if Bamba and Jackson go back-to-back? What's the word on the street?
So I've got a few sites pulled up. We'll just go with three. We've got the Ringer, NBADraft.net, and then our favorite, well, was our favorite, Tankathon, which now we hope
stupid Tankathon.
We'll be back next year, Tankathon. All right, let's start with the Ringer. Going, you want to just do like three at a time or two at a time? Want me to run through the lottery?
Yeah, I mean, give me the top five there.
Okay, we'll do top five. They've got Doncic 1 to the Suns, 8-2 to the Kings. One of my favorite picks, because I think it would help the Mavericks, Jackson Jr. 3 to the
Ooh.
Hawks, Bamba 4 to the Grizzlies.
Oh, that means it's Bagley time.
Michael Porter Jr. 5
Shut
to
up!
The Mavericks.
What?
That's the Ringer. We'll move on. Let's go to NBADraft.net.
Ringer is awesome, but I hate them at this moment.
So it looks pretty similar at the top. DeAndre Ayton, though, going 1.
Okay.
Doncic 2. Bagley 3.
Okay.
Jackson 4.
So then we get Bamba.
Porter 5.
What the hell are you saying?
I'm just reading
Why?
The
Oh, my God.
Don't worry. We've got one more.
I swear to God.
Tankathon.
Don't let me down.
And I'll throw in my personal if I can do that
don't
as well.
Don't let me down, Tankathon. I swear to God, if Tankathon's Michael Porter Jr., you better have your pick ready to go.
Tankathon. 1, DeAndre Ayton. So back-to-back similarities there. 2, Luka Doncic. 3, okay. Jaren Jackson Jr.
Huh.
4, Marvin Bagley.
I swear to God.
5, Mo Bamba's still there. Michael Porter Jr. still there. But Tankathon has the Dallas Mavericks taking Mo Bamba at 5.
Thank God. Look, and that's one of the reasons that I wanted one of these top two picks. Like, you wanted one of these top two picks just for assets' sake. Well, you know, and it doesn't matter wherever you're listening to us from is, you know, the better the pick, the better the asset, the better the opportunity to do whatever. You don't have to pick Ayton or Doncic, but it could, let's say you coveted Bamba. Well, then maybe you could try to
like, then you for sure.
Yeah, then you know you're going to get him. Or maybe you could trade down into number 5 and try to pick up an extra asset. You know, sports is the asset business. And so I was disappointed about that. But the other reason I'm disappointed is because, you know, I think Bagley is more dependable what you'll get out of him. Like a much higher floor, maybe a little bit of a lower ceiling, but a much higher floor. I think Jackson is the second most unpredictable player in the lottery behind only Michael Porter Jr. If you told me that Michael Porter Jr. or Jaren Jackson Jr. turn out to be the two most touted players in this draft in terms of everything they achieved throughout their NBA career, I would believe it. If you told me those were the two biggest busts in the lottery, I would believe that as well. And I feel that way it's about Mo Bamba to a certain extent. He feels a little bit safer just because he's a rim-protecting, shot-blocking machine. But that makes me really nervous, and I already have had some people messaging me about, you know, did you see what Michael Porter Jr. did? He was the consensus number one before he got hurt. I get that, but he had a back and spine injury at 18, and then you watched him when his athleticism wasn't working, and it's not elite athleticism to begin with, and he looks like a high-volume shooter who I don't know what else he brings to the game right now. Will his defense eventually be awesome? It could be. Will his rebounding eventually be awesome? It could be. But Bamba, he can already block shots like an ace now. Doncic can already distribute the ball like an ace now. Bagley and Ayton can already score like champs and dominate the rebounding right now. Like, I feel better if potential goes with a skill that's already there.
Yeah.
For Jaren Jackson and Michael Porter Jr., man, it's a whole lot of potential because, as you've mentioned, Jaren Jackson, he played out of position. But the bottom line is, what did he have last year? Like 8-6 or something?
Oh, yeah, like 11 points, 6 rebounds.
Okay, well, that's better than I thought on the points. And then for Michael Porter Jr., he played 2 minutes and then two rusty NCAA tournament games. That's all potential, at least with some of those other top five. I know there's an established skill set that I've seen on the big stage to go with potential. So I think Michael Porter Jr. 5 is too high. If you're 8
I do too.
Or something, knock yourself out.
So in my personal, maybe a little Maverick-centric top 5, I have Doncic, Ayton, Jackson, Bamba, and the Mavericks taking our own Marvin Bagley at 5.
All right, let me ask you this then. What is it, and it's not particularly just your draft board, but what is it about Bamba and Jackson that you think could lead teams to drop a more established product, we'll say, even though it's 1 year for all of them. But as of now, a more established product in Marvin Bagley III, what drops him below those two, would you guess?
Well, I think something of it is, where do you play him? How do you play him?
Sure.
You know, I think he is would be a great small ball 5 if you want a great offense. But then defensively, where do you end up?
Yeah.
And then if you play him at the 4, well, he's not really great on the perimeter yet. His 3-point shot goes in sometimes.
But the last 2 months were good for him.
But when he misses, it's really bad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he favors the left. You know, there's all kinds of things that I think you can pick apart. Whereas Bamba is certainly, you know, your big man. And Jackson, I think, is the modern big man. Marvin Bagley, you're like, well, we don't really know what he is.
Yeah.
But he's just a really good basketball player. Like, some guys just know how to score and rebound, and he's that guy.
You know, it kind of sounds like, again, totally different players, but the way you're describing it makes him sound a lot like Dwayne Wade. Remember when Dwayne Wade was rolling out of, I think it was Marquette, is people were like, no, yeah, he's awesome. What are you going to do with him? He doesn't really run the point a whole ton. I think he's too small to be the off guard. And people were just like, he's an awesome player. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, he started, if I remember right, as the point guard in Miami, right?
And he obviously is a crybaby, but also made quite the career out of it. All right, so when we slide down the board, you've got Orlando, then Chicago, then Cleveland, New York, Philly. What do the sites that now irritate me to a certain extent have to say about those ones?
So 6 through 10 on the Ringer. 6, Magic take Bagley. Bulls take Miles Bridges. I think that's kind of high for him. I mean, I like the ranking, like at 7, but as far as being drafted, I think it's a little high.
So you pair him up with Chris Dunn and Markkanen. They got some. Man, Chris Dunn had a fantastic season after kind of looking at him, you're like, he was the number 3 pick, huh?
Right.
And now, but after this year, he had a breakout season. Kind of the same deal with out in Los Angeles with Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
He looked like Dudsville the year before, but he really came a long way, which I sound surprised, but I don't know why I should, given that like Ingram was 19. Like, oh, hey, what do you know? A kid who is 19 got way better after a year. Like, that makes all the sense in the world, but we're really quick to, same thing with D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell sucks, but then you move him out to Brooklyn, not too bad.
So then after that, they have Mikal Bridges to the Cavs. We talked about that earlier.
It's a great pick.
At 9, the Ringer has Trae Young going to the Knicks, which is,
it's a genius pick in terms of marketability.
That's what I was about to say. Shoe companies, New York City, Trae Young, the most polarizing college basketball player this season. Wouldn't be bad.
He'll always be second because Grayson Allen is always the most polarizing college basketball player.
That's fair.
But no, I think that's a genius pick to get excitement going in New York. I think that excitement could eventually wear off. I don't entirely know.
They need something, though.
They do.
At 10, the 76ers, Wendell Carter Jr.
Holy cripe.
Which, I mean, are you just going to play the biggest lineup that's ever existed in the world?
Man. So, geez, what a ton of size on that front. And then I guess Ben Simmons not always on the front line. But, yeah, Simmons, Carter, Embiid, sweet Moses. Whew, that sounds pretty sweet. Plus, I'll say for the record, man, I think if you get Wendell Carter Jr. at number 10, that's a steal right there. I really do think that.
Oh, I think at 10, he's really good. In fact, if the Mavericks would have, worst case scenario, fallen to 6, I wouldn't have been too upset with him at 6. It might be a little high, but I like him there. For the NBADraft.net, 6, they have Wendell Carter.
Yeah.
7, Mo Bamba, all the way down to 7 at the Bulls.
Ooh, so Bamba and Markkanen paired together, huh?
And then we've got the Cavs taking Trae Young, the Knicks taking Colin Sexton, and the 76ers taking Mikal Bridges.
Okay, again, man, we got that Mikal Bridges pick pegged. I changed my mind. The best pick ever now is Colin Sexton to New York, because Colin Sexton has more swag than anybody in this draft. And you stick him in MSG, oh my God, I think we got something.
They would love him.
Him with Kristaps?
Now, they do have Emmanuel Mudiay and Frank Ntilikina, but they could play Ntilikina
at the two. Right. Yeah. And is anyone building around Emmanuel Mudiay anymore? That's not a thing.
Now, I really like that, though, because...
I like that a lot.
Ntilikina, great defender. Colin Sexton, when he wants to be tenacious, like doesn't give a crap defender. Like,
yeah.
They will, and I mean, put them together with Kristaps. You got something going there here in the near future.
What an interesting pick with Trae Young going to Cleveland again, because once again, we're talking about a 3-point shooter. Although, I mean, if LeBron were to depart, we got a whole new set of problems. But assuming he stuck around, I think that is a pick that would make him happy. He was talking about how awesome Trae Young was earlier in the year.
I mean, maybe gives Cleveland a little excitement. Like, if LeBron leaves, most of those fans probably know who Trae Young is. Maybe they get that, you know, similar to New York, some excitement with getting a guy that they've heard of, because most casual fans only see, you know, what's on the highlights, and Trae Young was all over him.
Trae Young is easily a top 3 player in this draft in terms of name recognition, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's Bagley, Trae Young, then maybe? Well, hell, it's probably Grayson Allen, but then maybe Ayton?
Maybe Michael Porter? People hear about injuries?
I could maybe see that. All right, last one. We go back to...
Oh, this is Tankathon.
Tankathon, that's right.
Our friends at Tankathon, well, I don't actually know them, but I visit their site, so they'll be friends for today. 6, they have Trae Young going to the Magic. I think the Magic could use Trae Young. I think that's a little high. 7, Michael Porter Jr. to the Bulls.
Okay.
8, this one's interesting. We haven't seen this. Wendell Carter to the Cavs.
I like it. It would be interesting to see him paired alongside Kevin Love. I do not think that he is that dissimilar in terms of their style of play at times. I'm not going to say he's a comp, because obviously Kevin Love seems way more able to go outside, but Kevin Love also is heavy on the boards like Carter and doesn't mind playing with his back to the basket like Carter. I think there are some interesting similarities there.
To finish it up, 9 and 10 on Tankathon, they go back-to-back Bridges. Mikal Bridges to the Knicks, Miles Bridges to the 76ers at 10.
Interesting. What do you think about, in terms of that top 10, best potential fit for Miles Bridges, or a team that you think you take Miles Bridges, you're getting it done? We said 7 maybe a little high. 10 seems pretty good.
Yeah, I think 10 seems pretty good. I don't mind the fit in Philly. You know, taking a back seat, doesn't have to, there's no pressure. I think that kind of benefits any young player. You know, look at the guys that have really succeeded from this recent class. Donovan Mitchell went into a really good situation, a playoff team that lost their best player. He needs, you know, wants to be a scorer. He gets to be. Jason Tatum goes to the best coach in the NBA and a team where, you know, with Kyrie Irving and at that point Gordon Hayward, he kind of just gets to learn. And then when they need him, like here in the playoffs, he can be the scorer that he really excels at and, you know, that he showed he could be. So I like the Bridges to the 76ers. I think Charlotte at 11, you know, I know we're doing top 10, but I think Charlotte at 11 wouldn't be bad for Miles Bridges. But as far as the top 10, I think looking at the 76ers is not bad for Miles Bridges. The Bulls, you know, the Ringer had him going 7 to the Bulls. I guess they would play Markkanen at the five?
Yeah, no, they can run. They've run Markkanen at the five.
And Bridges is a good defender. I just don't know if he can defend bigger players. That's a little bit of a question for him.
Just want you to think about this for a second. I know it didn't play out like this, but do you realize if the Lakers pick would have finished two or three, it would have gone to the Celtics?
Oh, yeah.
Can you fathom a world in which, I mean, we've seen the ascension of, you just talked about Jason Tatum, you've seen the ascension of Jaylen Brown as well,
yeah.
Another former number three pick, and then the return of Irving, the return of Gordon Hayward. You've seen how well Holford has played. Can you imagine if you would have added like an Ayton or a Doncic to that crew, or a Bagley?
With Brad Stevens as your
coach?
Good
God! I would take that team to war with the Warriors. Like, I know they're hoping that they can go to war with the Warriors this year, but whoo, lordy. All right, so we get to the rest of the lottery. We got Charlotte, Clippers, Denver. Let's go to the ringer. What are we looking at here?
To finish out the lottery, 11 through 14 on the ringer. Colin Sexton going 11 to the Hornets. 12 is Troy Brown Jr., kind of a forgotten name lesser-known name, the Oregon shooting guard to the Clippers. And then back-to-back picks, they go your guy, Robert Williams, to the Clippers at 13. And then 14, finishing out the lottery on the ringer, the Nuggets take one of my favorite players in the class, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the point guard from Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, man, we talked about him as being a real riser going out through the last month of the season and into the tournament. And then Robert Williams, as you've said so many times, you see him as like a fringe lottery player. And as much as I describe Jackson and Porter as my mysteries, I think Robert Williams might be one of your...
I don't think there's much mystery there. I don't think he's going to be great.
Like,
he might be okay.
What are you more sure of? That Robert Williams will not be a big-time NBA player, or that we never landed on the moon?
Man, probably Robert Williams.
Wow! All right.
But why haven't we been back? That's all I'm asking.
Dude, we went back a bunch, and then people quit caring. Remember Tom Hanks almost got stranded up there?
Is that what that was?
Apollo 13.
I thought he was on Castaway. Didn't he get stranded on
the island? No, that was a different time he got stranded. And then that one time he got stranded on the boat. I'm the captain now. Oh, like, yeah. There's a lot of times. And then that one time he played the foreign dude who got stranded in the airport. That was the terminal. Look, Tom Hanks gets stuck places a lot.
And then he got stuck as a child on Big. Or no, as an adult. Like a child's mind and adult's body.
I think people need to reflect back on that movie and about how that movie deals a lot with pedophilia, and people don't, I mean, that chick wants to hook up with Tom Hanks.
But he's an adult.
Oh, no, he looks like an adult. He's a kid.
But as far as she knows, he's an adult,
yeah,
right?
That's great, but he's still a 13-year-old. Don't try to give me your weird defense of she thought he was that old.
What is she
that's
supposed
not
to
gonna work in the court of appeals,
all
How right?
How is she supposed to know?
Dude, I don't know. Here's your new rule. Whenever you meet someone that you want to date or hook up with or whatever, ask them if they made any sort of weird body swapping deal with a genie at the boardwalk.
I guess I have some questions to ask.
Yeah, you do have some questions to get out there this week, don't you, Nick?
I do.
All right, let's go to NBADraft.net.
11 through 14, they have Miles Bridges, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to the Clippers, Kevin Knox to the Clippers, and then Robert Williams.
Back-to-back Kentucky kids,
yeah,
huh?
I don't know about that. I like Gilgeous-Alexander. I guess he'd be fine in L.A. Kevin Knox, you know, we talked about him a lot as a guy that was top 10 potential,
yeah,
when he came to Kentucky, and now dropping all the way to potentially outside the lottery, but they have him at 13.
You'd still take Knox ahead of Williams, though, right?
Yes,
okay.
Of course. Robert Williams, 14 to the Nuggets.
Ooh, it's got to make you mad.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Tankathon, how they finish.
Tankathon finishes out the lottery.
I hope they pick Robert Williams, too, just to piss you off.
He's there.
Yes.
At 11, and this is the first time we see this name. I actually have him going 14 on my mock draft. Zaire Smith, 11 to the Hornets.
Oh, Lakeview Centennial. There you go.
Colin Sexton to the Clippers at 12. So, you know, we've seen point guards to the Clippers, but Colin Sexton in L.A., just like if it was New York, might be good for him.
I'm going to tell you right
now.
Or
good for them, I should say.
I think Colin Sexton at number 12 is a good value pick. I really do.
Yeah.
I like that kid a lot.
13, Robert Williams to the Clippers. That seems to be pretty consensus,
yeah,
across
13,
the board.
14.
14, Lonnie Walker to the Denver Nuggets.
Another new name out there. All right, so you said you have your board. I heard your top five. How do you roll out the rest of your mock? I will go ahead and assume that you do not have Robert Williams.
I actually do.
Shut up.
Same to the Clippers.
Okay.
Because I think teams like him way more than I do.
Okay, gotcha.
So I don't want to blind myself there. And let me preface this by saying I reserve the right to change this mock draft. Yeah. I did in about 3 minutes, so we'll see how accurate this one is.
We got like 5 or 6 weeks.
But we got Orlando taking Michael Porter Jr.
Okay.
Chicago taking Wendell Carter. We talked about that earlier, and the more we talked about it, the more I liked that.
Yeah, I like the idea of pairing him up. And I think you've got an intriguing trio of youth right there. You've got Chris Dunn. People might still forget how young he is. And then Carter Jr. and Markkanen, who Markkanen, by the way, we haven't talked about him a whole ton during the podcast. That kid was a breakout this last year. He was fantastic. He lived up to all of the best case scenario hype right there. So I think that would be exciting for Bulls fans.
Then we go 8, Cleveland. I love Mikal Bridges.
Makes all the sense
to the
in the
Cavs,
world.
Especially if LeBron is there.
Makes all the sense
in the world. As we record this, it looks like the Cavs are going to go down 0-2 in that series. So maybe LeBron
will be
out the door by then.
I think LeBron already had like 18 points in the first quarter. Come on, rest of the team.
9, I have Trae Young going to the Knicks.
Look, we talked about it. As much as I think it would be awesome to see Colin Sexton end up in Madison Square Garden, high-fiving Spike Lee and all this and that, and Trae Young brings a name recognition and level of excitement to MSG that is just what they need.
Absolutely. 10, I have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going to the 76ers. I know he wouldn't
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, apologize. No, go ahead.
Is that because he might get a little bit more of an opportunity to develop?
Yeah, I think so. And he doesn't have to be a primary ball handler because he's not a scorer.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he could develop into one, but right now I don't think he steps into the league to be a scorer. So, I just like the fit there. I know they have Ben Simmons, but I think he wouldn't be bad there. 11, I have Charlotte taking Colin Sexton.
Okay.
So I have him a little bit lower than we have seen, but Charlotte's sort of the opposite of any of the big, you know, the big places. He might be forgotten about there, you know.
Yeah,
but they did take Malik Monk. I mean, you've got
a good backcourt going right there. But, I mean, 8 to 11 seems reasonable for Sexton.
And that one, I think, would be good on the opposite end. You know, he is the bulldog mentality. Nobody's going to, you know, take me down. I'm the best player. And can kind of pair that with the small market, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? The small market, like, underdog type thing.
Yeah,
you know,
I can see that. Which is kind of what he did at Alabama, right?
Absolutely.
Nobody listened to Alabama for college
basketball.
He
scored 23 points playing 3-on-5. That's all you need to know about Colin Sexton. The Clippers, 12-13. Troy Brown, we heard him earlier. I have them taking
at
Troy
Oregon,
Brown as well. And then Robert Williams,
Did that hurt you to put down on the computer?
No, I guess it kind of did. I just don't think... I don't like the Clippers to begin with, so...
Oh, so you sent them the garbage pick to make up for DeAndre a few years ago.
Out.
I got you.
And then to round out the lottery, I have the Denver Nuggets taking Zaire Smith from Texas Tech.
Okay, best... Who do you think... Out of all those picks, whether it's on the Ringer, NBADraft.net, any of that stuff, which team do you think is positioned to maybe get the best value pick right there? Because I'm telling you, I think if Philly doesn't make a move for LeBron and they end up with the ability to get Mikal Bridges at number 10 out in Philly, I think that could be an amazing pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Will fit well there. I think anyone who takes Colin Sexton is going to get great value. You mentioned that earlier, and I think that's definitely the case. He will have a chip on his shoulder more than he already does because he seemingly walks around with it. But if he's taken like 8 to 12, I mean, I have him. Where do I have him on my board? Let me pull it up. I just finished this. I should know it off the top of my head. I have Colin Sexton at 10 on my board, just above Trae Young. So I have Trae Young going higher in the draft. But I have Colin Sexton ranked above him on my personal board.
Best pure point guard in there.
Yeah.
I know we talked about like where to put Luka, but best pure point guard on there. Yeah. The other one I would throw out there is if it goes according to your mock and if the Mavs were able to pick up Bagley at number 5, I think that is a hell of value.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there's a chance. I'll say right now, most likely to end up with the Mavericks. Mo Bamba, Marvin Bagley, Michael Porter. Actually, let's flip Bagley and Porter. So Mo Bamba, Michael Porter, Marvin Bagley, just as most likely to end up here in Dallas.
Not Jackson? You think somebody's going to take a flyer there?
I guess that's true.
I think it's Bamba or Jackson are the overwhelming favorites.
Let's go back to that, because while I think Jackson would be good for the Hawks, who knows what they think? They, you know, they might want more of the Mo Bamba or the Marvin Bagley. So we'll see. But I really think Jaren Jackson would be good there. And as a Mavericks fan, that's what you should be hoping for, is the Hawks to take him at three.
Now, as we said, right to reserve, plenty of opportunity to change your mind. But what's a name that you think would be most surprising to people that's got the best shot to jump into the lottery?
Is it the kid out of Oregon? Troy Brown, probably. Yeah. I don't think many people know who he is. So maybe just based off purely that, it could be Troy Brown. Zaire Smith, I think, would be a little surprising.
Yeah.
But although, as we've talked about on several podcasts, he's really jumped on the radar because of his, you know, just crazy athleticism and big NCAA tournament. I think those are the two. Maybe people would be surprised at Lonnie Walker, although he has sort of been pegged in that area for the entire season, just sort of late lottery. But Troy Brown, probably, just because no one's really heard his name. You know, he didn't have a explosive, crazy great year, although he was good. And he played at Oregon. Not many people watch West Coast basketball, especially college basketball. So all that combined, I'll say Troy Brown.
Most surprising name that is going to fall out of the lottery, or most likely to fall out of the lottery.
Fall out of the lottery. That's tough, because I guess it'd be somebody near the bottom, right? Miles Bridges, maybe. Probably not, but maybe. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, I mean, could go 15-16.
I'm going to say Robert Williams now, just because everyone has him pegged as a lottery pick. I'd say he could slide out.
Yeah, he could. I think I wouldn't. I'd be surprised only because that's, you know, so many places have him in the lottery. But as far as my personal evaluation, I wouldn't be that surprised.
Yes, I know.
In case you didn't know.
Oh, I've got it. So Denver, after the draft lottery, is going to go 14. The Clippers back-to-back at 12 and 13. Charlotte at 11. Philly at 10 until they trade for LeBron. New York at number 9. Cleveland at 8 until they package the LeBron pick to move up. Chicago at number 7. Orlando at 6. Dallas at 5. Memphis at 4. Atlanta at number 3. Sacramento at number 2. And Phoenix at number 1. Nick, I'm going to say that Phoenix caves to peer pressure and they end up taking DeAndre Ayton.
All right.
Your pick right now, you're going to go Luka?
I'll say Doncic right now.
All right, there we go. Man, and it sucks because now reality is starting to crash back down as a DFW sports fan that we got number 5, and that's kind of a bummer. But I still think the draft lottery is kind of stupid, but kind of awesome and super fun. And next year when we miss the playoffs by one game, we're going to pull at Orlando 1993 and take that one ping pong ball and get the number 1 pick, and we're going to take like Cam Reddish or RJ Barrett or whatever, and back to prominence go the Mavs.
Probably not. What a horrible night.
Yeah, oh my God, we were doing so well.
The number 5 pick.
We were doing so well.
Now, I mean, if you want some positivity, maybe it's not positivity.
I already told you, Charles Barkley, number 5. Kevin Love, Dwayne Wade, Scottie Pippen.
I wasn't going, what I was saying was,
I think Wade was
by
5.
Percentage points, that number 5 pick was the Mavs' most likely spot, 29%.
You shut your damn mouth, Nick. Nobody wants to hear that.
But it's, I mean, I maybe just made that up, but I didn't.
No, you're not wrong. The draft lottery is weird. All right, anything else you want to throw in there, especially if it's positive?
I've got what positive is there, Kevin? No, I don't have anything
positive. Mo Bamba is going to be a shot-blocking star that's going to turn out to be Joel Embiid, and we're going to be just fine, okay?
I hope so.
Just fine. All right, for Nick Nepik, you can find him on Twitter, at Nick Nepik. I've been Kevin Hagland, at Oh Thank Kevin on Twitter. You can also find my show, The KNC Masterpiece, at KNC 105.3, or on 105.3 The Fan, 7 to 11 Central weeknights. You can also find us on the Tune TuneIn app and podcast on iTunes. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. Perhaps next week we'll dive full-fledged into your big board because I know you got it ready to go. We know the draft order. The combine's ready to roll. Next stop, NBA draft. Hope you'll ride with us all the way until there. And until then, stop looking so sad, Nick.
What's the point?
Well, I got nothing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.